Hello again. I had this whole intro planned, but I forgot that I already introduced myself in the announcement, so hey again. There it is. I just want to thank everybody for being here because I know that there are competing commitments that we have on weekends. There are tons of things that we could be doing, and so thank you so much for prioritizing being here and being present. For those live streaming too, for being with us. I really appreciate that. And I think that it's something special, especially in moving forward in time. The next generations value the frequency of gathering a little less and less. And so thank you so much for being here. We are continuing in our series, From Darkness to Light, and we've been looking at a lot of the passages in the scriptures that talk about darkness to light. And what's really cool is that they're used in many different ways, and we've been sort of processing through all the themes. You can see our wonderful set design here with all the responses that we're walking through, and there's all of these different themes that we're getting to explore. We've talked about the foundation of faith and that going from darkness to light means rooting and establishing ourselves in Jesus Christ, in salvation. That's absolutely essential in going from darkness to light. We've talked about being visible and experiencing God's word. We've talked about love. We've talked about forgiveness and all of these things that God is doing. And today, we're talking about wisdom. Going from darkness to light is about embracing wisdom. My hope is that we could talk through some practical steps of why wisdom, and how to really engage with it in our lives today. And that really, we would continue on through the week drawing near to God and engaging with wisdom. Today's passage comes out of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs is found in the Old Testament. It was mostly written by King Solomon, although there are other authors who wrote different pieces of it. And King Solomon was known as probably one of the wisest kings of Israel's history, especially gifted wisdom. Many people came from out of town to seek after his wisdom. He would rule as judge over many cases because of how wise he was. And King Solomon was talking with his sons in this passage that we're going to be reading through today. Now, wisdom is a funny thing because people who think that they're wise are usually not, right? And people who think that they don't really know very much usually tend to be the most wise because they know that they don't know what they don't know. You see what I'm saying? Right? So wisdom is those funny thing. The people who are always trying to give wisdom to somebody sometimes are not the most wise. But sometimes it's the most silent people that when they speak up, blow your mind. And you're just like, whoa, that was powerful. And so wisdom is one of those funny things that when we think we have it, we probably don't, because wisdom would lead us to know that we don't have wisdom. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of this tricky thing. All that to say, we all need wisdom. We live in the information age. And one of the challenges of that is we're full of information, but we don't know how to actually experience transformation. We don't know how to turn that information into change, and we don't know how to discern what information is truly the most wise. I listen to student after student giving wisdom to their friends in the form of a lyric from a popular song. They think that that is what wisdom is. You see, we've heard a ton of things, but really deciphering what is the most wise thing we can do and say takes a lot more effort and intentionality. So we live in the information age, but we need to learn how to really embrace God's wisdom. Now, King Solomon was a son of David, and David is probably the most famous king in Israel's history. He did some bad things, but he also did some really good things, and that's a sign of God's redemption, his love, and his favor. In 2 Chronicles 1, King Solomon gathers a ton of the Israelite elders and people to the Mount of Gibeon, and he puts on this huge worship feast, wonderful prayer experience, and in the night, God visits King Solomon, and he says this: I will give you anything you want. Any one thing, I will give it to you. Anybody know what King Solomon asked for? Wisdom. Da-dum, ding. Wisdom. That's our message. Wisdom. King Solomon asked for wisdom. And when I read through this passage, I thought, you know, that's really interesting. But as you keep reading, you see that Solomon says, God, thank you so much for the people you have given me, that you've entrusted me with to lead. They are a wonderful and amazing people. God, give me wisdom that I may lead them well. His gift and request for wisdom is so that he could love and lead the people well. And that really challenged me, because if God showed up to me in the night and said, I will give you anything, my mind's going, $1 million, a Ferrari, notoriety. Like, my mind's going to everything that makes me look good or successful or helps me. It's not thinking about how can I help others. Like, I don't know that I have the care for others enough to say, oh God, any gift, give me money so that I could bless others. Give me things so that I could take care of people well. Give me wisdom so that I could lead. So King Solomon really encouraged and challenged me this week to really be more about loving and caring for other people. He's granted wisdom, and he's also granted financial success. Now, what's really interesting here is that Solomon is gifted wisdom, but unfortunately, his life does not end so wise. So we know that he has a strong, successful reign, but he sort of ends like a plane crashing. And so just know that this morning we're going to be talking about wisdom from a person who is not only the most wise, but from a person who eventually did not listen to their own wisdom. And so we kind of need humility to really respond well and to take that for what it is. So he has a poor ending. And what is interesting about Solomon is he doesn't develop the character to sustain the blessing of wisdom. Okay, I'll say that again. He doesn't develop the character to sustain the blessing of wisdom. And what I mean by that is the wisdom that he attains brings him great success, brings him a lot of attention, popularity, and wealth and success. But he's not able to develop the character that once he's successful, he can maintain his faithfulness to God. He turns from his faithfulness to God. He turns to all sorts of foreign gods. He marries like a ton of women from all different cultures. He builds all these buildings, a lot of temples to other gods, right? He's completely turning from God by the end of his life and completely abandoning the wisdom that established his initial success. And so what gets us somewhere is also what's going to keep us there and keep us going. But Solomon didn't listen to his own wisdom. Now, a few things that we need to take from wisdom this morning. Not only is King Solomon the author, but this is the Word of God. We believe that this is the Holy Spirit speaking through King Solomon. So today is not just a self-help tips and tricks to do better in your life. Like, this is the Word of God. And so we don't only listen to this with an attitude of, ooh, that's a good idea, that's helpful, that's encouraging, but with a conviction that we need to own this, the authority that it carries as the Word of God. Also, wisdom is not about a one-time life event. It's about a lifestyle, okay? Wisdom is not about, ooh, I'll take a piece today. Ooh, I'll post this cool quote on my Instagram, and now like I'm more wise. It's about daily choosing to do what is absolutely best and most wise, not necessarily what we feel like doing or what's easiest, but it has to be a lifestyle. Absorbing and embracing wisdom is a forever event. And we see King Solomon's life, he did it for years and years, but still by the end, he crashed and burned. So we have to spend our whole lives doing it. Now, for me in my journey, I've always had this mentality of, I can do it. My parents said one of my first phrases as a kid was, no, I do it by myself. And that is something that has carried into my 30s. I'm still like, no, I do it by myself, right? I can do it. I don't need help. I don't need advice. And my pride came from, look how good I can do without help. That was sort of one of my internalized things. Look how successful I can be without the support of other people. Look how much I can do. And one of my favorite quotes I have in my office is, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. And that is something that has reminded me time and time again that really I'm in the business of going far and going together. When we are Christians, when we are part of a community and family, it's not about how far I can go, but how far we can go together and collectively. Now, so for me, the last 2 years since I've gotten into my 30s, I've finally realized maybe I don't know as much as I thought I did, right? And this has really led me down a path of destruction. No, I'm just kidding. This has led me down a path of really being an intentional learner. I want to read as much as I can read, as many books, as many posts, as many articles. I want to watch as many movies. I want to learn. I want to talk with people. What do you do for work? What's it like? I'm curious. I'm hungry. I want to learn. rather than saying, hey, I want to cook a brand new thing I've never cooked before, I'm just going to make it up on the spot, which is what I used to do. Like, I'm actually going to look up some recipes. I might not follow the recipes, but I'm going to actually look at what it says I should be doing as a recommendation. I have a hard time following the rules, but I'm learning to really seek out and embrace the fact that there are many people who know how to do things better than I do that I can truly learn from. And I think we need to have that posture in every avenue of our life. No matter how good we are at things, we need to have the humility of being ready to learn. And so receiving wisdom this morning, one of the most essential things is a posture of humility, saying, God, I need you. God, I need wisdom. I think I know some things, but I also know that I need more wisdom. Wisdom is one of those things that we can never have too much of. It's not like, I've got enough wisdom, I'm doing fine. We can always grow more wise to learn and understand what's going on. So let's jump into our passage. Oh, before we do that, let me pray for us one more time, and then we'll jump into Proverbs 4. God, would you speak through your word specifically this morning? You know what each of us is going through. We pray that you would call out very specific things in our minds and in our hearts this morning that you want to speak to, that you want to minister to, that you want to address, that you want to affirm, that you want to convict. Lord, have your way. We need your spirit to fill us, to speak to us through these words, God. Lord, we pray for humility this morning to receive whatever you have for us, God. And we pray for intentionality to really embrace you and live it out. And all God's people said, amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. King Solomon is speaking to his son. He's speaking this, he's writing this down, and here we go. Verse 10. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So we're going to go verse by verse this morning and really breaking down exactly what's going on. Verse 10, Solomon says, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. The motivation that Solomon gives here for wisdom is a successful, extended, healthy life. That's what Solomon is saying. My hope for you is that your life goes well, is that it's lengthy, that it's successful. And that is why you need wisdom. You will not be there. You will not experience that type of life without wisdom. Now, this is a father pouring out his wisdom to a son in hopes that he will succeed. But he's telling him that he needs to truly engage, listen, and accept this wisdom with these postures. We already talked about humility, right? In order to receive wisdom, we need to be very aware of our inadequacies. Now, one of the difficulties is when we are aware of our inadequacies, it often becomes self-defeating. We think we're not good enough and we don't want to apply ourselves. So we need to have humility, knowing that we need what God has for us, but confidence knowing that God has something good for us, that we don't have to separate ourselves or go astray from what God has. We also need attention and focus and intentionality. To engage with wisdom, we have to do it on purpose. We're not just going to absorb it by being around people. We're not just going to, like, you know, follow like wisdom accounts on Instagram and then or on Facebook, and like all of a sudden we're way more wise. That might be helpful, but we have to be intentional to listen and apply it. We need to desire wisdom. We need to truly be hungry for doing things better. And unfortunately, that often takes an unsuccessful experience. We often have to go through hardship, challenge, failure, something that doesn't work out in order for us to go, I'm not doing this right. Something's wrong. Something needs to be changed. I need to seek out wisdom, right? And so we can avoid and skip those challenges by just embracing what God has for us. Now, accepting of wisdom cannot just be an intellectual exercise. It has to be a lifestyle. And what I mean by that is I will often read a quote and go, that was good. Okay, next, right? And so the extent of my experiencing wisdom is like embracing the quality, but I don't really think through, Hey, let me journal this later. You know what? Let me take this whole week to journal through this. Hey, let me search Bible verses that correlate with this. Hey, let me think about practical rhythms in my life that I can implement. You know what? Every time I wake up in the morning, every day, I want to make sure that I think through this piece of wisdom. Oh, I'm going to write it on my paper and tape it up on my dresser or whatever. So every morning I see it. We have to take moves of intentionality to truly embrace a way of life. We can't simply go, that's good, that's deep, yeah. Okay, next. So embracing it is incredibly important. Now, wisdom is more about as the years go by. It's not about a moment. It's not about I went to this conference and got wisdom or I met with this person. Every moment matters, but it's the moments over the long term that make the truest and best effect. Now, wisdom in the short term is not going to feel so great. It's going to feel like the more difficult road. It's going to feel like the more complicated road. We just want some quick answers, some quick solutions, some quick fixes. So wisdom in the short term is not going to feel like we're accomplishing all that much. It's going to feel like more work. But wisdom in the long term, we're going to see very clearly the success we have over the lack of wisdom. So when it comes to living a life of wisdom, we need to be prepared for the long-term haul. That's really what it takes. Also, when it comes to wisdom, I believe that actions model better than words. We love to tell people advice. We love to give people advice. It was one of my things in high school. Like, I wanted to be like the advice person, like the sage person. Well, we named our daughter Sage. That's cool. But I wanted to be like the wise person that people would come to me. And I had this picture in my mind of like, you know, I had like the robes and I had like the rings. And it's like, kiss my hand and I will tell you the wisdom. You know, like, I didn't actually want to wear those things, but that's who I wanted to be to people. I wanted people to be like, oh, Ryan, you are so wise. Let me tell you my problems and you can help me. And I really cared more about what I thought. I wasn't really a Christian then. And so I didn't really think through, hey, what does God have to say about this? And so wisdom has to be from the Word of God primarily. It doesn't mean that things outside of God's Word are unwise, but our primary source of wisdom has to come from God's Word. So, next verse. Verse 11, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. So the way of wisdom is defined here as a very straight, a very simple path. This is not like the narrow path, be staying on it. Like the path of wisdom is wide, it's obvious, it's known, it's not hidden, it's simple. It's not going to be difficult. It's not meant to be restricting. It's meant to be in plain view. It's meant to be obvious. It's not meant to be secretive. I remember I took the students on a trip to Yosemite a few years back. Who here has been to Yosemite? Okay, beautiful place. So if you haven't been, you have to go. Absolutely. And if you can go in the springtime, early summer, the waterfalls are the best. This year, with all the rain and snowpack, the waterfalls are supposed to be on point. Glacier Point, that is. Yosemite joke for anybody who's been there. Okay, Glacier Point, cool. like three people are laughing. Who is this guy? Okay. So we went to Yosemite, and I have a crazy story I'll have to tell another time about hiking and forgetting food and water and almost dying. But we lived to tell the tale. We hitchhiked down from Glacier Point into the valley, if you know what that is. There's props there. Anyways, I took the students. I was more prepared this time. I had them have food and water. And we hiked up the Misty Trail, which is about a 2.5 mile hike. And then I let half the group who said, that's enough for me, go back with some of the leaders back to camp. And the other half of the group who was like, we're ready for the big time. We hiked all the way up to Nevada Falls, which is like another 2.5 miles. All in all, it was like an 8 mile round trip, 3,000 feet of elevation. And so we hiked all the way up to the Nevada Falls. We ate our lunch up there. And then we hiked back a different way. It's called the Horse Trail. And you're going down this huge kind of like mountain. And so you have to have switchbacks. So if you know anything about hiking, the whole thing about switchbacks is like, so you're not going down a super steep hill and like falling and like rolling down this giant hill. You kind of have to do this sort of thing, right? So we're coming back. It's a leisurely pace. But one thing I learned about hiking is everybody has a different stride when it comes to hiking. So we naturally kind of broke up into groups of like 3 and 4. We had enough leaders. We made sure everybody was good. And we're just going all the way down. We get back down to the little, like, bathroom rest stop towards almost the bottom. We're, like, a mile still from the valley. and we're counting everybody, and we notice we're missing somebody. And it's like, where did, and I'm going to leave his name out for safety reasons. But it's like, where did he go? Like, I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. I thought he, what's going on? And so we're like, okay, maybe he just got behind, or maybe he like lost the trail. I don't know how you could. It's like really obvious. 5 minutes later, it's like an animal out of the woods. Like this guy comes out from like the bushes. And we're like, where were you? He's like, Pastor Ryan, it was crazy. It was so, I'm like, what happened? Like that was pretty simple. Why do you have scratches on your arm? Like he has like these scratches. And I'm thinking, bear attack. I'm thinking like, you know, wild cougar. But I'm like, if a bear attacked you, you wouldn't be here. You'd probably be gone. Anyways, I'm like, dude, what happened? He's like, well, so I'm a Boy Scout, so I thought I'll be okay, you know? And I was like, I'm tired of walking, so I just went straight down. And he's like, and I fell. And I got scraped up. And he wasn't bleeding. He just looked like scratches. And he had like leaves in his hair, you know? He had like grass under his, and dirt everywhere. And I'm just like, listen, man, the path is defined for a reason. You're not meant to take shortcuts. The reason why they carved this path is because that's the way to safely come down. You thought you had a better way, but it cost you. And the same is true when it comes to wisdom. The path of wisdom is usually obvious. It's usually simple. It might not seem like the most efficient or effective, but in the long term, it's going to be the most successful. And oftentimes, we want a quicker result, and so we're really quick to make our own path, but we need to stay on the path. Now, this is talking about wisdom. This is not talking about everything else in life. I am not giving a message on conformity this morning to say, stay on the path that everybody else follows, stay in line, because I always colored outside of the lines, right? Like that was just always me. So I'm not saying everything we do has to follow in line with everyone else. But what I'm saying is that wisdom is a gracious and obvious path. This way of life is not found by chance or by accident. It's an intentional, methodical, continuous lifestyle. Verse 12. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Very simply saying, the path of wisdom is so smooth that you can run on it, that you can be free. The path of wickedness, which we're about to talk about, there's a lot more obstacles, there's a lot more stumbling that comes to be. So I wrestle with this idea of I want to make my own path. I want to make my own way. I want to be like the kid in Yosemite who's like, is there a better path than the one carved out? And I think that that breeds innovation in a beautiful way. And so I'm a huge fan of that. But we can't go on our own for the sake of going on our own. We still have to seek out wisdom from others as much as we can. And that's been my mistake in my life. I have thought the only way to carve my own path in this world is to reject all other paths that have gone before me. But there's an excellent way to embrace the wisdom of others while still creating our own path. All right, verse 13. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Wisdom requires self-control. It requires that we hold on to it. That we don't let it go, that we embrace it. And Solomon, you can imagine him speaking to his son, and he's saying, look, you have been making some wise choices, which is great. To your credit, you're doing well. But don't let it go. Don't think, oh, because you did so well for so long, like you're magically going to coast. Like you can't like live on the coasting of wisdom from years ago. If we've had a season of life where we've made really good choices for a year, we can't just stop making good choices and think that we're just naturally going to coast into success. We have to continue to hold on to wisdom. There are going to be many temptations and many tensions that want to draw us away from the wise path, and we have to intentionally decline those. The language here for holding on is the same language that means discipline, like an athlete has a disciplined regimen or like a specific diet that you're very disciplined in. That's the word here for hold on. So when Solomon says hold on to wisdom, it's an intentional discipline. If you're on a diet, if you're on like an athletic regimen, if you have a certain work schedule or workflow or any sort of routine in your life, you know that you're planned out, you know that you're prepared, that you execute, that you learn from your mistakes, that you're growing, that you're intentional. In the same way, we need to apply this to wisdom and how we embrace it and how we hold on to it. We can't stop and allow ourselves to slack or drop off the wagon. and we have to guard and protect. These are really strong words for wisdom. I would imagine Solomon is talking about like the family treasure or gold. Guard it, protect it with your life. But he's speaking about wisdom, and that means that wisdom is that important that we have to guard it and protect it and be disciplined with it and embrace it and go after it. For most of us, I think that we kind of go about life going through the flow and just going with the motions and just going with the way things go. I think it's difficult to be very intentional about learning and growing, but I really believe that that is what God is calling us to this morning. I remember going off to college, and by off, I mean like I drove like 20 minutes. I lived in La Mirada, and I like drove to Long Beach State. My record was 19 minutes. I could get there in 19. Legally, okay, the speed limit, I always obeyed on Mondays. And I remember going off to college and being exposed to so many different worldviews, so many different opinions, and I was in this constant battle of saying, here's what I learned growing up, but here's what other people are doing. What's really the right way? And I was constantly discerning and sifting and wrestling with what is truly wise. And the same posture is true when it comes to wisdom. There are constantly going to be other ideas that are put in front of us, and we need to really discern, okay, what is really the most wise or godly thing that I can do? Now, not only do we need to hold fast to wisdom, but we also need to reject the path of wickedness, the path of sin. So just as much effort has to be put towards investing in and gaining wisdom as intentionally being aware of the wrong paths and avoiding those as well. And that's just as much a part of wisdom. So verse 14 and 15 in Proverbs 4. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. No, sorry. I'll read from here. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. Now, let me just clarify what wickedness is. Because when I read this, like, do not set foot on the path of wicked and the evildoers. You know, I'm imagining like a sorcerer who's like casting spells on people and like sacrificing people to some foreign god. Like some like crazy, like elaborate thing. But what I want to say here is the wickedness is simply doing things other than what God has. Simply doing something that's not the way that God would have it. And let me give a quick example of this. I was just thinking, this is not me, but hypothetically, right? I'm imagining if I were a wicked employee, like what would that mean? I'm imagining like I want all my other coworkers to fail at what they're doing. I want to like set traps for them to get in trouble and for things to not work out. And like I want to plan out all of this horrible stuff for them to be unsuccessful. When I say the word wicked, that's sort of what I'm imagining. I don't do this, by the way. Let me clarify. But I'm just saying, if I were to be a true person of wickedness, this is what it would look like. But I think what this scripture is saying is even if there is any drop of ill intent in your heart, that too is wickedness. So to a much lesser degree, is there ever anything I do to make myself look good at the expense of someone else? Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's in my community or on the team or whatever I'm a part of, is there any bit of my heart that is willing to do something to make myself look good, to be noticed, to be successful at the expense of someone else? And if so, that is just as wicked. That's what we're talking about. The path of wickedness is not this horrendous and atrocious thing. It is any degree of sin, doing things other than what God has for us. And this is the path that Solomon is telling his son, telling us, and that God is telling us that we need to turn from, that we need to go away. Five warnings are given in this passage. It says, do not set one step. We will come up against difficult situations where we feel like we're in a pinch and we don't feel like we have any other options but to cheat a little something or lie a little something or bend something. And Solomon is saying, don't even step foot in the unrighteous path, in the sinful, wicked path. He's also saying, do not walk in a continuous way. If you have gotten yourself down a bad path, don't keep going. Turn from it. Come back to the right path. He's also saying to avoid the path completely. Be aware of it, but avoid it. Don't think, you know, I'm going to try life this way for a while. I've had so many conversations with students over the years who said, you know, I'm kind of tired of like living the Christian life. I just want to try all the sin and just see like, what's the hype, you know? The world hypes it up like this is the way. And it's like, I'm just feeling frustrated. Psalm is saying, don't even try it. Like, stay away. You will do better to stay away. Don't step on that path even just for a season. You might look ahead at the next few months and say, this is going to be a tough road, what I'm about to be going through. I might just need to compromise on what God's called me to. Don't do it. If you're on the path of wickedness, turn from it and turn from it now. That's what Solomon is saying. The wicked path is not only horrible sins, but it's anything we do, any thought or any action outside of what God has for us. Verse 16 and 17, for they cannot rest until they do evil, for they are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. This is where Solomon takes it to the next level. This is what our lives become with a continual effort on the path of wickedness. We become consumed by our need to do things wrong. And we cannot function apart from doing things the wrong way. It says that their rest is consumed. They're robbed of sleep. They have difficulty sleeping. So if you have difficulty sleeping, you're wicked. No, I'm just kidding. I've learned to actually sleep really well. I can sleep through crying and screaming children. My wife can't, so sorry for her. But if we're getting to the point where we're losing sleep over something continuously and it's become a life habit or a lifestyle, it's something that I think we should pay attention to and look at. It also says that their eating and drinking has become unhealthy. They care more about consuming others, consuming their tasks and their goals than about caring for themselves. They're so about their vision, their goal, their plan, what they want to accomplish, that they will do it at the expense of their own health and wellness. They've become consumed and enmeshed with wanting to see others fail where they succeed, to the point of thinking about how to bring others down. And here's the dangerous part, is it doesn't feel evil to them. It doesn't feel bad. It's just become normal. When we walk on the path of wickedness, it might seem a little off at first, but the dangerous point is when it becomes normal. That's truly the scary point. In Romans, there's a verse that says that God handed them over to their own sins, meaning that God no longer was actively convicting them of sin. He let them have it. The dangerous point of wickedness is when it doesn't feel wicked anymore, it just feels normal. And that's why we need to self-examine. That's why we need to ask people around us, hey, what do you think of the way I'm doing? What do you think of the way I'm living? What do you think of how I'm going about this? Because I need feedback. Everyone's good in their own eyes. But we need the help of others to look in and see how we're doing. Those more godly and more wise than us. But it takes true humility to submit ourselves to feedback. Have you ever done that? Have you ever sat in a room and said, tell me what you really think about me? Have you ever asked people to write a letter? Tell me the 5 things you think I do well and the 5 things you think I do really poorly. It takes a lot of humility to do that, but you can really grow from that. And it can't be one of those, tell me what you really think about me, but like what you like about me. Like, no, really, what you really like, you know? Okay, one thing bad, one thing. But turn it into a positive, like a job interview. What's your greatest weakness? I just work so hard. I just give myself for the company to my own expense. That's my weakness, but I, you know, not like that. I've never done that. That's not how I got this job here. So we have to be careful and be aware of the wicked paths, to be aware of our temptations, where we are tempted to step into things that are not right, that are not good, that are ungodly, even if just for a season, where we are tempted for a short-term fruit that will breed a long-term problem. The last part of this passage talks about walking in the light. Verses 18 and 19 say this. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Have you ever watched the sun rise? And not just because you got out the door a little early and you saw the sun kind of low in the sky. I'm talking about from pitch black, where you're there and all of a sudden you start to see the black turn into a dark purple and a dark blue and then sort of a dark red, orange, yellow, and then the sun comes up. And maybe the sun is hidden behind a few clouds for a little bit, but eventually gets to the fullness of day where there are no clouds and the sun is bright. And the difference between that darkness and that light as the sun rises is like what it means to walk in wisdom. I love what it says. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter till the full light of day. As we walk in wisdom, we gain increasing understanding, increasing awareness. There's freedom to live openly and honestly. We don't have to hide who we are. We don't have to hide what we're about. We don't have to be ashamed. We can be honest. We can be transparent. Because in wisdom and in life, we can be open. We can be in plain view. But it says the wickedness is like a deep darkness. So deep that when you stumble, you don't even know what made you stumble. You're so blind. You're so unaware. The word here for darkness is actually the same word that's used in Egypt when the darkness came out of the plague. It's also used in Deuteronomy 28 to talk about the blind stumbling during noontime in the day because they could not see. Those who have been on the path of wickedness don't even know what causes them to stumble. They don't even see the connection between their sins and their consequences. They're frustrated that life is not working out, but they don't see that it's because of their own choices. When we are in sin, when we are doing things our way and not God's way, we will not see the results that we desire, and we won't know why. We'll think, I'm doing everything right. How come it's not working out? Now, that's not to say that if you walk the path of wisdom, your life will always work out perfectly, because we know that's not true. Devices are user-friendly, but life is not. Things are difficult. But if we are in a season of wondering why we are seeing failure after failure or difficulty after difficulty or repercussion after repercussion, then maybe there are some choices that we're making that are truly unwise and we need help with those things. The whole theme of this morning is that we are to walk in wisdom every day, our whole lives for the long term. It has to be a lifestyle. But here are some challenges. Do we really want to walk in wisdom? Do we really want to give what it takes? Do we really want to sacrifice our desires, our pleasures, the way we want to do things so that we can truly do them right and be successful? Do we really think that we need advice? It takes humility to choose wisdom and to embrace it. We need to hunger for wisdom. And we need to surround ourselves with wise people. I think one of the biggest things I want to say today is we have to be so intentional to seek out wisdom. We can never get to an arrival point where we think we're wise enough to do it on our own now. We have to constantly be feeding, learning, nourishing, seeking after, asking people, getting feedback, seeking wisdom. Some of the things that I do that help me, I listen to a ton of different podcasts, How to Be a Father, How to Have a Family, How to Be a Leader, How to Be a Pastor, How to Be Everything, right? I'm listening to podcast after podcast. I love the ones where there's like three or four people on. They're all having a conversation. I want to learn as much as I can. Watching YouTube videos. There are so many good things. I was even brushing up on my sushi making last night because I'm doing some sushi making for lunch today. It's going to be bomb. So I was watching a video on how to make sushi. I've made it before, but I just was brushing up, okay? You can learn so many things, but it takes intentionality. And so the big takeaway I want for us this morning is to know that wisdom is a lifestyle choice. It's not a moment. It's not a, yeah, that's good, move on. It's an intentional discipline to grow daily, every day. And the less we think we need wisdom, the more we most desperately need it. So as a reminder for how much we need wisdom, I am actually launching my brand new apparel brand this morning called WSDM. I think we have some photos of it, WSDM. This is the hat, and if you can't tell, this means wisdom. I just took the vowels out, kind of like Yahweh. WSDM, we actually have here, and these are going to be for sale, okay? If you don't know, a lifestyle brand is basically apparel items that fit a certain lifestyle. So if I'm a surfer lifestyle brand apparel company, I'm going to have like cool glasses that are good for the water, that don't like allow glare. I'm going to have like waterproof watches, like, you know, that fit the whole lifestyle. So I want to promote a lifestyle of wisdom. So my hope is that we can all wear these hats and declare, I will be wise. Okay, maybe not. I'm not launching a brand company. I got one hat made, that's it. But actually, we had a famous artist in our congregation, Ryan Melchor, custom designed some shoes to go along with this. So we have some WSDM shoes here. There they are. They'll cycle through. And next one, please. Look at those. These are awesome. Like, this is really cool. We have these shoes and this hat to give away right now, okay? And before you think, like, what does this have to do with anything? I want you to know wisdom is what goes in your head, but also how you walk. You see what I'm saying? You see that? There we go. There we go. There we go. Now, if this goes viral and I can start taking orders, But would anybody like this wisdom hat? Anybody? Oh, there we go. There we go. Dwight said he wanted to wear it. I'm so sorry, it was one of a kind. But we do have some shoes. Size 11. This is men's size 11, women's size 12 and a half. Anybody want these ones? Okay, I saw a hand right there. Boom. You want to come up for your shoes? Can I have some assistance here? Some assistance? Thank you. Thank you so much. We will deliver your shoes down this straight path right here, this straight and narrow, wise path here. You're walking it. You have to wear those every day for a year. That's the rule on the giveaway. If anybody inquires about orders, let me know. Okay. We also have here size, men's size 8, women's size 9.5. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, I see right there. Okay, right there. Thank you so much. Oh, Victoria, you are wonderful. Look at that. Boom. I'm so excited for how excited you are in WSDM. Okay, I got to give some away towards this way. This is men's size 9, women's size 10.5. Anybody over here? Nobody? Oh, I see a hand. They're perfect. Right over there. Winner, winner, winner. Wow, you guys are amazing. WSDM, hashtag WSDM at WSDM.com, WSDM.org, all the websites, all the social medias, all the apps, WSDM App Store. You know, we're going to be hitting this big. Dwight's already wearing it. Look at that. Proud. But there's an accountability component. If you're wearing this and you're doing something unwise, we're going to have to call you out. So it's going to be, you know, a little scared there for you. But no, to finish this up, one of the things that really stuck out to me, I was really reflecting on Solomon telling his son to be wise. That's what this whole passage is. And I thought of the moments where my dad tried to tell me what to do and how much I thought he didn't know anything. And I thought there is this beautiful thing that has happened from the beginning of time where each generation is meant to pass down its wisdom to the next generation and to the next. But children by default tend to be rebellious and think, I don't need that. So how do we do that? How do we do that well? And one of the things that I'm going to intentionally work on, and I'm sharing with you for accountability, is I want my family to go on a couple evening walks a night, which I think won't be too much work, but just an evening walk a couple times a week. And I want to use that time to share with my kids a piece of wisdom. Because I really believe that not only do we need to be intentional about receiving wisdom, but we need to be intentional about giving wisdom. And that is best experienced through relationship, not just telling people what to do. And so we can spend time with people who are a little younger, who are a little less experienced than us, and we can share wisdom. I think that would be really, really helpful. And so I want us to think about that in our neighborhoods, our communities, at our jobs, the people we go golfing with, whoever we're spending time with in our week. Who is a little younger and a little newer than you are that you can be sharing wisdom with? And I think we'll always be surprised because we can always learn something from them too. And having that mutual posture of humility is incredibly important. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and we're going to jump into some communion. So just bow your head with me, close your eyes. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you don't leave us on our own and say good luck with your life, but you have laid out some very clear things for us to do, to live, to embrace. God, help us to embrace your wisdom. Help us to embrace your way of life, Lord. Help us to be convicted of the ways that we are walking in sinful motivations and compromise, Lord, to turn from those wicked paths and to come back onto your righteous, wise, straight path. Help us to do well in our life, God. Help us to have a successful, healthy life, Lord, that we may love others and serve others, like Solomon's attitude for his people. Help us to serve those around us, not just ourselves, God. Help us to embrace wisdom, not only intellectually, but in how we walk and in how we live, Lord. We're just so grateful for your unfailing love, God. You are so good to us when we don't deserve it. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. People, we have an opportunity to continue our worship as we celebrate communion together.